Yes.
Male of trade?
Yes.
About four size?
I'm holding it fast, please.
Okay. Yes, human?
Sorry, yes.
Carry trout?
Carry's not dead, it's just got his property to do.
Okay. Jordan Buchanan?
Yeah.
Tony Harris?
Yeah.
Tony Holmes?
Yeah.
She's also excused, and so is Linda Rush, and they have given their proxies to Philip Shepherd.
This is just after the clarify, so the IG constituency has given its proxy to a representative of the business constituency?
Yes, because there's no one there from their constituency.
Thanks.
Amadea?
Yes.
Demi?
Yes.
Alec Wilson?
Sorry, is that for me, Alec?
Yes. Okay. Audrey?
Yes.
Yeah, and Thomas Russell?
Yes.
Good. Okay, I think we've got just about everybody other than the intellectual property constituency, Carey and Grant and Gabrielle. Okay, well, the basic agenda that I'd like to work to on this meeting is first have input from Paul Toomey from ICANN on his request for policy development in the area of registry services. Then we will address the motion and hear arguments for and against the motion. If the motion passes, then I'd like a discussion on the sort of issues we would like the issues report cover so that we can provide some initial thoughts to Paul and the ICANN staff, and finally any discussions relating to planned meetings scheduled for the meeting in Carthage, and I'll quickly run through other agenda items for Carthage in terms of preparation. So if I can start with...
Who's
that? From CCTLD? Yeah, hi, good, thanks. Okay, if I can just hand it across to you then, Paul Toomey, to give, I guess, your view on the question that you want the council to consider.
John Jeffrey Schrafer.
Hi, good, John, thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. John, just for friends, ask the status of the letter. I'm going to note that you the status of the letter.
The letter has been forwarded to Bruce.
Right.
Yes, I haven't seen it. It's a draft letter that was forwarded to Bruce.
Well, that is connected to the
I was just going to say, I think you're just going to have to talk to it, Paul, because I haven't got it. Do you want me to forward it to everybody on council, or
just like the client? I think what I might do is I might get John just to quickly read it.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Oh, thank you.
That's right.
Are we going to be reading it to the tune of Iron Butterfly in the back?
Sounds like it, yeah. Yeah, John, if you can find that.
I've heard of a hard read, but a hard rock is yeah.
So, John Jeffrey, are you available to read that letter?
Yes, actually, I'm pulling it out of my bag. I apologize for being in the airport at this particular moment. Okay. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, I can. The letter is from Paul to Bruce Thompson as the chair of the GNSO Council. And it says, I hereby make a formal request to the GNSO Council. The GNSO policy development process designed to
just someone on a second job and just question the best way to do it.
Sorry about that. I hereby make a formal request to the GNSO Council that it commence a GNSO policy development process designed to produce recommendations to the board for a timely, transparent, and predictable process for dealing with proposed actions by TLD registries that could impact the operational stability, reliability, security, or global interoperability of the DNS, that registry, or the Internet. This would include but not necessarily be limited to the introduction of new services by such registries that, because of their architecture operation, could have such impact. Where the various registry agreements between operators of TLD registries and ICANN prohibit the offering of a fee of for a fee of any registry service as defined in the agreements, and not specified in the agreement, including its appendices. We have two recent examples where these contractual provisions have come into play. So-called and whitelisting products created by VeriSign, the registry operator for .com and .net. Similar issues could easily arise in the future with registries. Our experience to date makes it clear that there is a need for more to be given to the appropriate processes. In analogous circumstances that might have similar effects. Under Section 1B of the GNSO Policy Development Process, the GNSO Council may initiate a policy development process. Once supported by an appropriate motion from the GNSO Council, the staff manager will create an issues report to be developed on or before the 15th day following the properly supported motion. This issues report will set out the clear ties to ICANN's mission and will follow the guidelines provided within the PDP. The issues here are important and complex. Actions taken by a TLD operator, operational stability, reliability, security, or global interoperability of the Internet should be carefully reviewed before they are implemented to ensure that any adverse impact is either eliminated or minimized. But stating this principle, with which most would surely agree, leaves unanswered many specific questions about the appropriate way to reach this objective. Any process created to deal with these issues must recognize the legitimate competitive interests of the registry operator, the legitimate interests of third parties in the stable operation of the DNS, the registry, and the Internet, and the derivative actions or reactions that such a change might produce. In addition, it must create accountability within a clear and transparent process. These goals may occasionally or frequently be in tension. There may also be wide variations in opinions on the likelihood of adverse impacts on the various parties and networks that might be affected. Finally, consideration must be given to how to create such a process without leaving it open to capture or undue influence by existing or potential competitors of the registry operator or an unnecessary disclosure of confidential information.
Okay, is that finished, John?
And then it goes into an analysis of the mission. It's about one more page. Should I go forward?
Yep. Go ahead.
Protecting operational stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability of the Internet, of course, the principal mission of ICANN, as set forth in our bylaws. And then it quotes from the bylaws, the mission of the Internet Corporation for assignment of numbers is supported at the overall level of the global Internet systems of unique identifiers, and in particular to ensure the stable and secure operation of the Internet's unique identifier systems. The goal is repeated in the core values of ICANN as set forth in the bylaws. Indeed, the very first core value is, number one, preserving and enhancing the operational stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability of the Internet. and other relevant core values counsel great care in seeking that objective. These include the following. Number two, respecting the creativity, innovation, and flow of information made possible by the Internet by limiting ICANN's activity to those matters within ICANN's mission, requiring or significantly benefiting from global coordination. Number five, where feasible and appropriate, depending on market mechanisms, to promote this in a competitive environment. Number six, introducing and promoting competition in the registration of domain names where practical and beneficial to the public interest. Finally, other core values speak to the processes that should be used to reach these objectives, including number four, seeking and supporting broad informed participation, reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making. Number seven, employing open and transparent policy development mechanisms that promote well-informed decisions based on expert advice.
This is the final boarding call for the Continental Airlines Flight 775.
And ensure that those entities affected, most affected, can assist in policy development process.
Does the person on the airline have a mute button?
Unfortunately, that's me.
It's comforting to hear that at least you're leaving on time, John.
Of course, that's the other airline. Number eight, making decisions by applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness. Number nine, acting with a speed that is responsive to the needs of the Internet while as part of the decision-making process, obtaining informed input from those entities most affected. And number 10, remaining accountable to the Internet community through mechanisms that enhance ICANN's effectiveness. Finally, the bylaws recognize the difficulties in seeking to conform to these core values in the wide variety of fact situations where they may be deployed and provide guidance on how to deal with tensions or inconsistencies that may be present in some situations. We urge the GNSO to follow this guidance and to take advantage of all of ICANN's staff resources. Staff is committed to assist you in any way possible, including providing and seeking expert advice on specific issues that may arise as part of this PDP. I request that the PDP be conducted as quickly as possible under the GNSO's new streamlined process and that it be completed no later than 15 January 2004. Your help in addressing the real issues facing the Internet community will provide a valuable service to ICE. And that's the end.
Okay, thanks, John. Paul, did you want to make some just general comments on the letter?
Sure. The letter's actually included some of the guiding issues that come out of the mission. Now I'm able to help you. But let's be quite clear about what the request is directed towards. At the moment, the registry agreements for the implementation of new registry services, under those agreements, is a requirement for approval by ICANN. What we're directed this PDP towards is actually helping to clarify the steps that need to be taken for that approval to be granted, and to help sort of triage what are the aspects of a particular service being proposed, and then what steps of consultation or otherwise need to be taken, and then what steps need to be taken for the service to be introduced as we prove for its instruction. Let's be quite clear about a couple of things. This is a request that's directed towards a dialogue that takes place between the registry and the ICANN staff function under the registry agreements. It is not the establishment of an ongoing process of policy making. So this is an appropriate use of the PDP in terms of helping a request from the President for guidance and policy on how those steps should potentially be followed, how they should be followed. But it's not in any sense an introduction of the policy forum part of ICANN into the regular process of interaction and determination that takes place between the ICANN staff function and and the registries. That's for a number of reasons. It's, you know, these practices are actually not implementing these services, actually not a policy issue. How one gets that is a policy issue, but the practice of each one is not one. Secondly, and this is very important, I think, for the community council to realize, is that at the heart of the decision-making process, service by service, is the process whereby a independent, neutral third party makes the decision. The ICANN staff and the ICANN board do not consist of parties that would be either competitors or have downstream relationships with a registry. And that's at the core structure of the ICANN and the registry agreements. And so I just want to clarify that point. So what is the request for consultation? Advice on what steps should be taken to be able to not only the practice of unleashing a series of PDPs one after the other in company services produced. The second point which is made in the letter is that there are issues that are emerging in this that are important issues that have emerged around things like sexual competition and also potentially things around how does a registry introduce a service in a true market environment where confidentiality may be important for their business needs. Those sorts of issues are the sort of issues that we think quite appropriate to receive and put advice on the competition issues from some of the competition agencies, either in Europe or the United States or elsewhere, who can actually give formal advice or contribution on the competition issues as they arise. And secondly, potentially people like BSCC or others who might be able to give advice on processes of how the degrees of confidentiality required and how other industries use operate in confidential environments while at the same time having consultation. So there's a couple of those issues where I think we think it would be appropriate to have independent outside expert advice. And the rationale for the inquiry as a whole is the request for the PDP as a whole, comes from dialogues that I, the president, have had with nearly all of the registries since I came to the position, and probably also reactions from some members from the board on occasion, of that there is a need for greater clarification of what are the steps that need to be taken, and that's been on the agenda for some time. The dialogue between ICANN and Verisign on the wildfire and cyclone service has accelerated or initiated this request, but this request is something which was considered to be on the agenda and it meets the broad range of issues, and not something which is related to cyclone. This is a more generic need. That's probably some first introductions, I think.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. What I'd like to do now is just offer the opportunity to ask questions.
Can I Bruce, can you just ask one more thing? One of the very important principles, and certainly the principle which the staff approach any request on these sort of matters, is the letter outlines in some detail the sorts of things that ICANN needs to be concerned about and the sorts of things that are related around the stability and other values that are in the bylaws. And of course, make those only so much clear. But this is not a problem, quite clear about the values, the broader values applied here. This is not an exercise that ICANN staff or when approached by registry come in with a hypothesis of how do we support this service, how do we stop it at all. Generally, it's the opposite. So I just want to also emphasize that this is not a I did not see it would be very disappointed if I saw sort of behavior which was all about how do we preserve in some sort of think format, what refugees do, this is a process about how we have people go forward and introduce this and have it done in the appropriate way.
Okay, that's good. What I'd like to do now then is just open a queue for people to ask questions, not suggest policy results, but ask questions just to clarify if there's anything you haven't understood from either the letter read out by John Jeffrey or the comments by Paul Cheney. So who would like to join the queue?
Yeah, would you put me in the queue, Bruce?
Yeah.
Okay. Me too, Bruce. Jeff Taylor?
Yep. Anyone else?
Bill Wilson.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, this is just a very quick question. How soon we're going to be able to get the letter so that we can look at it a little more closely? It's kind of hard to absorb everything there.
I think we should have left you within... my guess is within in a formal finalized statement in 12 hours. The draft version that John read through just needs to have one final copy of keys and dotting of eyes, and then we'll deliver.
Okay, Jeff, just a minute.
Actually, I think I'm going to, I think that pretty much was my question too, so I'll ask for now.
Okay.
Hello,
what's the next question? I'll put
Amadei
in the list.
Milton? Yes, Paul, I'm curious, when you talk about there's no PDP by the GNSO every time a new service is introduced, what you're talking about then is some kind of a determination by the ICANN staff and board?
Milton, that's basically what happens now. The applications and services by registries that are introduced have registry services defined in the contract, something that requires approval by ICANN. There's an ICANN interpretation of the in the case of the contract, the signature of the contract. Even the treatment processes whereby services have been introduced and received feedback from the community, the way this exhibit being an example, it wasn't under a PDP process, it was actually under an open mic forum in one of the meetings. So it's not a change in what the present process is.
Okay, so my question then is, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Would you accept as an outcome of this process something that tells you, it seems like you're assuming some kind of advanced ruling by the staff or the board under rules determined by the GNSO. And I want to know whether the GNSO has is within the contemplated determination that you're asking us to do. The GNSO to tell you, don't have an advanced process, look at a service, try to define the contracts better in such a way that if somebody does something like SiteFinder that you think is disruptive of the internet, you have basically the legal authority to say this is a violation of the contract. Is that within our purview, or are you telling us we specifically have to give you advice on how to do an advanced process?
Well, I'm not saying it's an advanced process. I would argue that the truthful, the process we have there is in breach, therefore, don't go ahead. The power that sits with the actually both sides on the contract, and certainly as I can now, with the registry agreement. What we're trying to address is, and we're hoping this is what the GNSO and CBC will address is, what are the steps that a registry needs to follow and at the start need to follow to ensure that that a service can be introduced and be introduced in a way which is consistent with those concerns and values outlined in the letter. And that is probably also not going to be, you know, one size fits all, because some types of services will pass through an initial test very quickly and come more on. I mean, if I can just use a sort of an example for one of the tests might be, you know, does the service actually is it dependent upon changes to the way in which the responses work, or takes the way in which the registry protocols are working, or something like that. That's sort of the service that might have a certain stream of things that consultation really requires. If it doesn't do that, then the next stage might question might be, does it do this, does it do that? Fine, then excuse me, I'm just taking this up on the fly. But so I'm saying it's probably not a year of one size fits all type process at all. And there might be some sort of, you know, many types of services which are just very simple, and about three other ones which don't. I mean, I think it's the purpose of asking is to say what are the steps and what are the consultations that are required for what types of things, just to give greater predictability and
I have one other question, but do you want me to get back in the queue, or can I ask it now?
Yeah, ask it now, maybe.
Okay. What do you perceive as the reason for the accelerated timetable that you're asking for? In other words, you're asking for a very rapid decision on a very fundamental issue, as opposed to something like the new TLD process, which has been sort of sitting around for more than a year now. Why are you throwing this to the front of the queue? What is the justification for the priority that you're giving it, rather than SiteFinder, which, you know, the horse is already out of the barn?
I think it's just the SiteFinder and other recent research registry service changes. The top name. Request for amendments to services has just highlighted, I think, for the board and the staff that this is an issue which is very important, and it also has cascading effects back up on those people trying to run those businesses. So that's why we think it's very important to accelerate it. And this has a real effect on people running real businesses now. That's how it does people who are running registries and people who are dependent on the registry of the registry team.
Okay, I'll move on to Amadeus. You had a question?
Yes. Sorry if that was already answered because you lost the sound for some minutes. But my question is very simple and technical. We have a motion that you're requesting the staff manager to do something free. Or will you have a staff manager for these DNS services?
There is actually a person that we're looking at, this one actually is further on DNS issues, but this will also be assisted by the general counsel.
I think the concept of staff
manager is really a generic term, because we've had motions in the past, and fact issues reports that have been produced by the so-called staff manager in the past. That includes the Who Is Privacy report and also the EDRP report. So it's not really seen as being an actual individual. I think it's more of a function. It's a bit like saying IANA needs to do something, and the ICANN staff to work out who actually does that.
The question is whether we have the human resources available, or we are sending the ball into an empty condo. That was my question, right? So if you say that, you know, that system that's here, that's perfectly okay.
That's a good question, and we do have the resources.
Bruce, can I take you on a list?
Yeah, go ahead, Philip.
Just really a question possibly for you, Bruce, and or Paul. You had tabled a motion earlier for this call. We've now heard the letter and discussion that Paul has transmitted. Is the motion that you have originally tabled fully compatible with that letter, or is there going to be a need to amend it?
My belief is the motion is compatible because that letter is just setting out the reasons and the context of Paul's request. I think the motion is fairly simple. The motion states that GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with the mission and core values of ICANN on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services.
I'm very happy to hear you say that, Bruce.
Yeah.
Just wanted that clarification before
once we've had a chance to see the final letter, that will help provide more comments to, let's call it the staff manager function, as to what issues we'd like to see addressed in the issues report. Any other questions?
Jordan, was there a quick question?
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
In the letter, and I think maybe in the motion as well, there's reference to a rather expedited process with the date of January 16, 2004, I believe, listed in. I believe, based on what we've seen so far, I chaired one of the first PDP processes under the new PDP. Or a task force that operated under it, and based on what we've seen on the WHOIS site so far, I think there's little reason to believe that it's actually possible to complete a PDP process in such a compressed amount of time, and I wonder if Paul could tell us what the implications are one way or the other in terms of meeting that particular date.
Certainly my reading of the PDP processes that should be completed with people and hope to be within 90 days going through the dive crash and receiving a removal of the final.
Yeah, I'd echo Jordan's comment that our experience in the past has been difficult, but yes, I'm skeptical that that's achievable.
Yeah, Bruce, can I get an excuse to comment about content?
About what, sorry, now?
About content.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
I'm very sympathetic to the need to move expeditiously, and yes, Paul, you're quite right that the PDP process calls for a 90-day period. When some of us were on the assistance group, we did point out the challenges of that time frame. I think that this particular time frame might may be exceptionally challenged, not by the WIP, but by the holidays. And I just would suggest that even people of goodwill seem to take these family holidays at the end of the year. And the 15th is I support the need for moving quickly. I just think we really need to look first very, very carefully at how much time everyone will lose around the end of the year holiday period.
Just before I continue with the queue, just to be clear, I don't think we should really try and set a date. I think what we're trying to do is just manage expectations that there's a possibility that the date may not be met. So let's not try and actually pick a date in this call. So that was Jordan and Jeff.
Maybe just even against a little bit what Jordan said, I kind of like the date in there because, let's invoke the PDP under the current process. I know it's ambitious to get there, but no matter what date we set, we're gonna ask for an extension. It just generally happens, so I'd rather set the date earlier than later and ask for the extension at that point in time with what progress we've made. Otherwise, we set a further out date or a longer process, we don't need that, and it ends up even being longer. So there's nothing wrong in my mind of setting a date and trying to get to it if we don't, and asking for more time. The second point I have is actually on an unrelated issue, so I'll go back in the queue after this time issue is addressed.
Okay. Yep, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, I want to just, to a certain extent, echo what Marilyn said. We just keep in mind that the experience of the DELETES task force almost exactly replicates the time frame that we're talking about here, which is that essentially the PDP process was kicked off at the Shanghai meeting last year. So roughly a year ago, understand, for all practical purposes, the work of the task force wasn't able to get underway until the start of January, or mid-January when people had returned from holidays. So, I am very, I think after that we moved along quite expeditiously, and I think, if you look at the new PDP process certainly can be accomplished, I think, much more rapidly than what we've seen in the past. But I think one glaring issue has been we do need to make sure, Paul, that there is sufficient staff support throughout the process, not just in terms of the issues of the initial issues paper, but throughout the process. If there's not extensive staff support, then it really puts a large burden on participants in the on the task force in order to be able to meet any of the dates listed.
I'm very conscious of that. I can assure you there will be actually full-time dedicated staff support for this.
We have a question for Paul about consequences directly related to this. Can I ask that?
In the terms of the timing?
Well, here's my question. One of the things I'm concerned about is that if we commit to a time frame and we don't deliver, what consequences does that mean to the introduction of a service by someone? Because that data's not in there.
See, if I can call a spade a spade, there are three services presently before ICANN under the present registry agreement. There's four. One is a Sumatera request. Three from Verify on IBM. Pathfinder. Those are active now, operating. And being dealt with at the moment. They're not part of this process. This process is just
okay. Jeff, you had another question.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a. And I mentioned this to Paul and to John. I think that the way the letter was structured was for all TLD services, and I think we need to step in for Carrie here and basically say that it should be only unsponsored registries and not for sponsored registries, because by contract ICANN has delegated all ability to choose registry services for sponsored TLDs to the sponsor itself. And so I would ask for that clarification on their behalf.
Jeff, thanks for that. I think actually what we'll be very careful about and remain very careful about is the definition of putting contracts. The contracts are different and they're different if they're not, they're not. So I think if on the letter actually the language in there about what's the definition, but we'll make it accurate. I think that's a key point.
Yeah, okay. I think it was Ken that was in the queue. Okay, I think that's probably time now then to move on from the questions and then on to the motion before the council. The motion I have drafted presently reads, the GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with Article 1, mission and core values of ICANN's bylaws on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services as defined in the GTLD registry agreements. Now that's, I guess, a motion from the Chair. I would first like to ask if there's a seconder for that motion.
I'll second it, Bruce.
And now I'd like to, again, form a queue of people that would like to speak either for or against the motion.
This is Jordan. I'd like to be in the queue.
Okay, Jordan, anyone else?
I'll be in the queue. It's Marilyn.
Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Milton.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Jordan.
Jeff,
Sure. I think, let me start off by saying I'm not hugely troubled by the specific motion before us in that it asks for an issues report, and I think that the GTLD constituency has identified some concerns we have about moving on with the PDP process, and it's perhaps possible that some of those concerns will be addressed and some enlightenment will be given to us in terms of whether it makes sense to progress along the PDP process. So I just want to make a slightly broader comment, is that I think that some recent events with SiteFinder and with other introduction of registry services, I think, highlights that perhaps the current GTLD contracts, and this probably applies across the board, maybe less so to the sponsored registries than to the unsponsored, but certainly applying both to the new GTLD as well as .NET. I believe that the registries the registry contracts are fundamentally flawed in that a huge amount of ink in these contracts is devoted to issues that essentially have very little to do with the community interests of stability, security, and so on with regard to the internet, and a relatively small portion of the ink in the contract. And I think perhaps it's evident from the SiteFinder experience that not enough ink in the contract is dedicated to actually making sure that it's possible for ICANN to preserve the stability of the internet through enforcement of its contract alone. And I think to that extent that there's more than just this one issue in with regards to the introduction of registry services. The contract ought to be fundamentally revisited and rethought, and this should be perhaps a first step along that path, but I think it's hard to deal with this issue in isolation without a sort of broader rethinking about what all we've set up in terms of the way that we deal with registry ICANN interactions. So that's just sort of a general meta thought that I'd like to throw out so we don't get sort of too bogged down in the details when there's broader issues that have to be dealt with.
But the comment I would make on that, Jordan, is I think Milton's raised the issue in the call about new level domains, but I suspect that the current structure of the contract for GTLD operators, that's something that the GNSA Council may well revisit as part of looking at a process for introducing new GTLDs, and we can sort of review that overall context at that time.
Yeah, well, I think actually Milton made the exact point that I would hope to earlier, which is that ideally speaking, ICANN would need to go in and sort of review each registry service to see whether or not it was a good idea or not. Ideally speaking, the contract would spell out pretty clearly a minimum level of stability that is required in order to get good operation and or have some procedures to rapidly react to a circumstance in which that's not met. And sort of a lot of the other range and a lot of the other shenanigans that we go through in terms of, is this a good, business idea and, how is it going to affect, various interests, various all sorts of different people and, going through 100 steps in order to introduce any little service, I think just points to a flaw in terms of how this is conceptualized. And maybe a place to start with it is the new GTLDs, but as long as you've got legacy contracts that apply to the largest existing incumbent registries, then you're going to continue to have the problem.
I think that's right. So a possible outcome of the policy might be, this is a procedure that ICANN should use with the current contracts as they are, but that policy should be sort of, if you like, hard-coded into the new agreements in such a way that it can be done fairly objectively and it doesn't involve complex processes and so on. But I think that's something that, as a general thing, could be considered as part of the terms of reference of a future policy development that might occur as an outcome of the issues report. Just to be clear in terms of the process here is that we're commissioning an issues report. Out of that issues report, the council will need to meet again and decide whether the council believes the policy development process is appropriate. And also we would need to define terms of reference if we were to go ahead with the policy process. And we can be quite specific in those terms of reference about what's in scope and out of scope. And that's really what we've been trying to do with the who is topic, is really get the terms of reference right before we jump into a policy development process. Marilyn, you were in the queue.
I was, and I was appointed to speak in support of the motion, which I will do,
after I make the following comment. I just observed a discussion which is, I don't really think appropriate to have at this time without an understanding that users have perspectives on the stability and security, et cetera, as well. So I really would prefer that we put off any discussion about what belongs, about the broader issue that's been raised. I take note of it, I listen to it, but I prefer we focus on the work at hand. But I think there's maybe a wide set of perspectives about the purpose of contracts in lieu of government regulation, et cetera, and I prefer we try to stay very positive and very focused. So I will do what I intended to do, which is to speak in support of a motion to call for an issues report that follows the timeline laid out by the chair. First of all, we get an issues report, then we assess, then we determine what to go forward with.
Okay, Milton?
Yes, I guess I could support this this resolution, but I sent a proposed amendment to the Thames Council list some time ago, maybe an hour ago, and it hasn't popped up yet as far as I can see it.
Yep, I've just seen it, Milton.
I'll give you my quick comment
on the amendment, and I'll just read it out. It says, to add to a motion, the issues report should consider the advantages and disadvantages of reviewing new registry services ex post or ex ante, where the rules should be different for dominant and non-dominant players, and who should make the initial determination of whether a new service qualified as a registry service. I think my comment on the amendment, Milton, is I would prefer we break it into two parts, that we first have a motion on an issues report, and then we discuss what we want to have in the issues report. And I would think that it may not be necessary to have a motion to deal with your particular issue. We can just ask John to take that on board and to consider it in the issues report.
That would be okay. I would simply, at this stage, after listening to Jordan's comments, I would add something into there about whether indeed improvement of the facility contract is a better way to address the problems. I think that's generally my perspective on this is that it's we are basically frankly, what Paul is asking us to do when I hear him, and I haven't seen this letter. But what I'm afraid of is that, everybody's in an outrage about the site finder, therefore we're going to close the barn door after the horse has escaped, and we're going to convince ourselves that I can't become a regulator which reviews in the fashion of a public utility every service introduced by the regulated utility and approves it, and that will solve all of these problems. I much prefer the philosophy that Jordan articulated of this is regulation by contract, and get the contracts right and give the players the freedom to do whatever is allowed by the contract. If they violate the contract, then you have a legal cause of action against them. Now, it's true that in a technical sense, you may not be able to predict what might cause problems on the Internet, but there are a lot of ways that people cause problems on the Internet, and it's not clear to me that centralized regulation is always the best way to address that. But that, again, it's a very profound issue. This whole issue goes to the core of ICANN's identity as a regulatory body, and I just hope that we are very careful in how we approach that.
If I can be in the queue.
Yeah, Jeff. Anyone else want to be in the queue?
Philip.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Two points. One is, can we please not use the term regulatory body or regulation when it comes to terms of ICANN? ICANN is not a regulatory body. As part of an organization, a company that deals with regulatory bodies, there is a major difference. And we need to get out of the mindset of thinking
of ICANN as being a regulator. That was not the way ICANN was formed. That was not its role, and it's not its role now. We live by contracts. Every right passed on and every obligation is by contract. We've agreed to certain rules of the game, and yes, from time to time the rules have to be amended, but they are not, it's not a body that regulates over us as registries or as registrars or even as users. So we need to be careful in ever referring to it as a regulatory body. So I think in that respect I agree with Marilyn that that should stay out of our conversation, and that's a much broader issue. The second thing is that if there is an issues report and if the NSO Council is engaged in this process, what I would ask on behalf of a smaller or on behalf of a registry that is not the dominant registry player is that this process needs to be entered into without emotion against what people view as a monopoly. There are even discussions today on whether there is or is not competition in the registry space as far as there being a monopoly dominant player. Whatever your opinions are, or whatever anyone in the internet community's opinions are towards VeriSign as being, you know, the largest, you know, needs to be put aside, because any rules that are agreed to affect all of the registries, inadvertently trying to get back at the dominant player in the industry could inadvertently kill the smaller of us. And yes, I do say smaller of us, even though we do have over a million registrations. So I would ask for those two things in going forward with this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. I think what we're all hearing on the call today is convergence towards the motion, Bruce, that you proposed, which I think is very, very encouraging. I'd like to respond favorably to the point that Milton had made, and also echo Bruce, your suggestion that those form part of a sentiment in terms of our expectations as to what this report is, as indeed may the journal content of the letter we've heard from Paul, which is also outlined from the OK point. As we know, the issues report already had a context in which it is outlined in a general sense, and a lot of the things we've expressed already in this call, I think, will be incorporated in that. So I'm optimistic that what we'll get is something that will be well received. And it's perhaps maybe time to move to call the question.
Okay. I'll just see if there's anyone else that hasn't already spoken that would like to comment. Okay. I will then put the question. I'll read the motion out again, and then I'll ask each person to register their vote. The motion states that the GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with Article 1, mission and core values of ICANN's bylaws on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services as defined in the GTLD registry agreement. So I will start with Philip Shepherd.
Just a point of order, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Did Milton make an official motion to add that, and then do we have to decide whether to add that to the motion first?
I was told to wait until the first motion had passed or not passed, which kind of said that because we're following rules of procedure. We can vote separately on whether we want to amend the motion first, but that was my suggestion that for you to decide what you want to do. Yeah, I went along with your suggestion.
Okay. So we're going ahead with the motion. I'll ask again, Philip Shepherd.
My vote is yes.
Marilyn Kay?
Yes.
And for Grant Forsyth?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
Abstain.
Okay. For Kerry Clark?
He's going to abstain as well.
Okay. Jordan?
Yeah, I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Tony Harris?
My vote is yes.
Okay,
Okay, that's Tony Holmes.
I vote yes.
And Greg Ruth. So Greg Ruth is on the call. Okay, is anyone have a proxy for Greg?
I would suggest, Bruce, that we go back to Greg in a moment.
Okay, I'll do that. Chan?
Abstain.
Norton Mueller?
Abstain.
Okay, for Gabrielle?
Abstain as well.
Okay, Ken Stubbs?
In favor.
Thomas Keller?
In favour.
I will vote in favour. Now, Philip, you have proxies for Laurence?
Do I have proxies, I think, for all three of the IP constituency, and I vote in favour for all three.
Okay. Amadeo?
In favour.
Devin?
In favour.
Alec?
In favour.
And I'll come back to Greg Roots.
In favour.
Okay, so I have 18 votes in favour, so the motion is carried. Now, what I would like to do then is to, I guess, talk a bit about the process. Are you still on the call, John Jeffrey?
It's Paul here.
This is Paul. But my question...
Well, that's just a quick question. I unfortunately have to take a daughter to school, so I'm
going to... Okay. Well, my quick question, and I guess I can take the feedback on as the call goes on, but I guess, Paul, how would you see the process of the issues report being created? My sort of view is that you would post your letter to the ICANN website and people would see that, and I'm wondering whether it would be appropriate perhaps to open up some sort of public comment process for 7 days or so for people to raise issues they would like considered in that report. That's just a question for you, Paul, just on how you would see the issues report being created at this stage.
Sorry, John, were you there?
Before Paul answers. May I ask you a question, Bruce, before Paul answers?
Are you asking me the question, Mel?
I am.
Yes, go ahead.
Under the PDP, and I'm sorry John is not here, but under the PDP, I don't recall that we take public comment before we public comment after the issue.
That is correct. I guess my concern, Marilyn, is if you look at the previous issues reports that have been created so far, so working off a lot of existing material, so the Who Is Issues report had many Who Is Task Force reports and surveys
right.
And so did UDRP, and I'm just wondering, and that's why I'm asking Paul the question, is there enough data out there for an issues report to be created, or would Paul find it useful for people to say, here's some things you might consider?
Can I it sounds like I'm dodging the issue, but what might be useful for us is to think about coming back to you when we come back with formal letter going with an answer to that question.
Oh. Yeah, sure. So I'm just sort of thinking, you know, as long as you know that you've got enough to go on to do that, and I think what I'd like to do, just, and I understand that you need to leave, but just for the remainder of the council call, just to get a feeling from the council members on issues they'd like to raise. And we have one from Milton, and I'll certainly forward that on.
I certainly think we can get it from the council members. Yeah. Absolutely. We have, as you'd expect, we have a lot of experience from the other services that have arrived, you know, 2 years, 8 months, whatever, of people's input to have something to the issues that have been raised. And we can take those as input and put them in the issues report. whether we need to have any public comment.
We don't have to have, I'm just making that as an option.
Yeah. Well, can I just, let me just look at it and come back to you on it. I'm on a public interview, which is planning for you in the website, et cetera. So.
Yes, I understand, yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Paul. Bruce, so...
What I'll do is I'll
create a queue at this stage. What I might first do, I think Milton has already got one suggestion there, and I might just get him to repeat that. And then I'll have you, Ken. Anyone else in the queue just to talk and get... This is to raise issues that you'd like to consider in the report.
Sorry, for the point of order before...
Milton speaks. Well, Bruce, can I just thank you welcome?
Yes, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Philip, do you have your point of order?
Yes, I quite understand the nature of any amendment that may be made by someone who has just abstained on the substantive motion.
This is not an amendment, Philip, to just clarify. This is issues to be raised.
In that case, I look forward to Milton's explanation as he introduces the subject.
Great. I will explain that in lurid detail. I will just bowl you over with convincing rhetoric, Philip.
I'm waiting.
The reason I abstained is because, first of all, I'm not convinced that we need to do this, but if we are going to do it, I want to focus on the issues that I think are really the salient ones. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that the issues report addresses this, those issues. I think it's interesting that when Paul was on the line, he told us that the reason this was such a priority was because there were these poor businesses out there that had new services they wanted to introduce and didn't know how to do it. But I noticed that all of the registries did not seem too enthusiastic about the proposal, so I'm a little bit confused about what the motive for this is. But I do think there is a problem. And I agree with Jordan that the problem is that the registry contracts are focused too much on regulations, the favorite word of Jeff, and not enough focus on technical stability. So that what I'm proposing is, number one, I was trying to say badly what Jordan said better. You know, consider the advantages and disadvantages of reviewing new registry services ex post or ex ante. What I meant by that was, if you've defined the contract right, and somebody does something that truly destabilizes the internet or undermines the interests of users, then you should be able to sue them for a breach of contract without having to go through a review process and raising all of the problems of regulation. And Jeff, I'm sympathetic to what you're saying, but I don't think we change the nature of ICANN by refusing to call it a regulator. If it acts like a regulator by reviewing new services and ruling on whether they can be introduced, it seems to me to be a regulator.
Okay,
so the other thing I ask is whether the rules should be different for dominant or non-dominant providers. Are we going to be in a recursive loop in which somebody says this is a registry service, somebody else says no, it's not, so we don't have to go through this process? So who is going to be the person or the authority who makes the initial determination of whether a new service is indeed a registry service and has to go through this process? I'm really interested in the outcome of that one. I would like to add a clause in there, whether better focus on the GTLD contracts on technical coordination and stability is a better way to address the problem. So, other than that last clause I just read, all of what I propose should be before you on the council list, and I can send the new version immediately if you want me to.
What I'll do, if you can send something, I'll incorporate it in the minutes and forward it on to the ICANN staff as one of the issues we'd like included in the report. And if others after the call, I think, particularly after...
Bruce?
Yep.
I'm sorry, Bruce. I think we have to have discussion about this.
Okay. Just to clarify what my understanding is of the process, my understanding is that the staff manager will produce an issues report which will say these are some issues that have been raised in the community. These are issues we think are in scope or out scope or relative to the ICAN mission. So I don't think we are endorsing anything by saying this particular issue is a council issue. I think we're saying this is an issue that has been raised by a member of the community.
Let me speak to that. I think that many of us may have issues that we would like to have addressed, and if you're going to open a queue to identify input from a wide number of members of the council, I would support including issues that have been identified very broadly, but I will speak against the idea that any issue gets priority in its identification. And that was somehow what was coming across to me.
No, that was not what was intended. Well, at least my intent was that you should certainly raise issues that you think are important, and you can do it either now or on the council list, and I will collect those together. We'll make a minute for discussion of this call, and anything that goes on the council list will also be available for the ICAN staff to look at on an equal basis.
And I think it would be wonderful to take more input from a wide variety of the counselors.
And that's what I'm doing, Marilyn. I've asked people to join.
That's what I'm waiting on.
Yes. So do you wish to be in the queue, Marilyn?
I will.
Thank you. So far I've got Ken. I think, Philip, did you want to be in the queue, or you were just raising a point of order earlier?
No, I'm happy not to be with you.
Okay, so I've got Ken, then I've got Jeff, then I've got Mel. So go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, very quickly, I think it would be a very good idea. You already started to touch on that in your discussion there with Marilyn. I think that we need a reasonable time period to go back and do a little very, very accelerated consultation with our constituents to try to have something formative that we can pass on to council as to what the issues are that we feel need to be included in the staff report. I'm not talking about the rest of this month by any means. As a matter of fact, the comments I tried to make before that didn't get made were that I'm optimistic we'll be able to stick with this deadline, but I do feel that in light of the dispatch, we really need to have the opportunity to provide that information on a timely basis to the council. So I have to call the group. Just for timeliness, that we try to get constituencies to provide input to ICANN council no later than, let's say, next Monday, 2400 CET. That would give the constituencies at least some opportunity to do a little bit of consulting. I know it's accelerated. I know it's the weekend. But we're trying to get this done. So what do you think?
So what was your date then, sir, Jeff?
Well, I was going to say either Monday or Tuesday.
I guess this is kind of what I was getting at when I was asking Paul. I'm just a little concerned that a staff report will be produced purely on their experiences with some recent services. And I think there does need to be an opportunity for people certainly within the council and in consultation with their constituents to raise issues that they think are important and should be considered by the staff manager. Now, the problem there, I noticed Paul was talking about the staff manager producing a report in 15 days, and I think there's been comments on the list earlier that it's probably better to do a good job of that report rather than to rush it, because that really sets the scene for the development process. So I feel more comfortable that we do attempt to first read